Lola Kundakjan has worked tirelessly for years to draw attention to Armenian poets and writers, not only as an editor at Ararat, but through the Armenian Poetry Project and Dead Armenian Poets Society. Her new collection, her first collection, For Sale Here Today, contains poems in both English and Armenian, translated into Spanish. William Mikhailyan has said, "These poems of longing and grace are the kind we pass from friend to friend." How wonderful to find them in three languages, each proclaiming their own bright joy. With an answering bright joy, Sunday Best presents Lola Kundakjan.
Thank you, Patricia, for many wonderful readings in this room. Thank you, Noma. And Christine and Will, you're very hard acts to follow, and you've made me extremely hungry. Moods. I come to you tonight after a wonderful concert. I'm looking for love. I heard some Bach, Beethoven, and Schumann, not just any sonata, the F sharp minor, opus 11. I know that one so well. I sat there, transported, envisioning myself in bed with you, naked and laughing, surrounded by sheets of paper, me reading poetry, you interrupting me with kisses, then making love, a powerful image that felt good. I come to you this evening after a walk in Washington Square Park. I'm looking for love. I was watching a painter splashing colors on the canvas, Indian yellow, cerulean blue, and zinc white, not just any paint. I know those colors so well. I sat there, transported, envisioning myself in bed with you. I come to you tonight after hearing a jazz quartet at Bar 55. I was looking for love. I heard mellow tunes from the 60s, not just any composition, but Herbie Hancock, music I know so well. I sat there, transported, envisioning myself in bed with someone other than you. Hudson Palisades, a little ode to the neighborhood. In winter, I don't see them for days at a time. I leave for work, walking away from the steep hills. In the evening, they have drawn the curtains. When I see them dressed in a white shawl, they seem joyous, as if the dark, exposed limbs of the trees had made them feel somehow naked. A lot of my work is somewhat autobiographical. But you know, poets, they always elaborate. Hidden. He stepped out for a smoke. She waited inside the cafe, wondering why he paced slowly out of view. He returned smelling of bourbon. She felt his shame, deciding early on to take the long ride home alone. I recently got some bookcases, but this is from another decorating episode. If you like IKEA, raise your hand. My new bookcases will arrive in a week. I empty the old ones and find among deposits of fine dust layers of me at 20, at 25, a copy of 100 Years of Solitude in French, a collection of science fiction entrenched around copies of Voltaire, then notes in old travel books, some souvenirs bought or found, cookbooks with recipes of curry, hammam mishwi, grandmother's lentil soup, and mom's mujaddara. As I meander through them, I smile at my present, knowing that it and the future have a solid past. I also write some very sad poems. I found out recently that there was a political side of me that I had never explored before. So two of them are based on articles I actually read and then also elaborated with travel experiences. Hiroshima. I went to Hiroshima on December 6, 2005, 60 years after the artificial sun. I arrived amid snow showers to witness a destroyed city reborn. When I informed my mother of my travel plans, she asked if I was depressed. I told her I needed to go to beg for forgiveness, not that I pushed the button. You didn't push it either. In an exhibit in New York City, I had seen the melted glass bottles, the fused coins, and the frozen clocks. There, I saw much more. Hollowed statues of Buddha, images of people with burns, their skin branded if they wore patterned clothing, wristwatches morphing into microwave ovens, killing people with radiation sickness. Hiroshima's boulevards today bear witness to the shadows of humans who left by evaporation. Statues erected by benevolent associations for volunteer doctors and nurses. I walk through the roads leading to Ground Zero and the Peace Dome, the only building still standing after the atom bomb. Visited the memorial cenotaph, the eternal flame and the peace bell, the museum filled with teenagers from nearby towns. This was not an easy visit, nor should it be. I walked to my hotel in silence. The next one is based on an article I read in the New York Times in December of 2009, entitled A Medice Bond, Stitch of Pain and Healing by Ethan Bronner. So all the facts are taken from the article. It's entitled, They're Eight. A bond exists between a girl and this boy, but they should be enemies. They talk, watch television together. They play games in a hospital ward. Their parents have become close friends, but they should be enemies. She likes his mother's eggplant dish. He likes her father's rice and lamb. They should be enemies, but no one has taught them why. They live in a world that keeps them apart, their lands under siege, their people in fear and slavery. They are surrounded by neighbors who talk about differences instead of similarities, leaders who fund arms instead of building schools, politicians who feed pessimists instead of hope. She is Maria, 8, funny, smart, but paralyzed by an Israeli missile. He is Orel, also 8, her best friend, who endured 6 operations after half his brain was blown up by a Hamas rocket. Their playground is a hospital corridor. Their parents have become close friends. Doctor is their recovery. Nothing heals the spine cord half missing. An example of how faith can bring joy. These are, I mentioned here, 2 colleagues. 3 cups of heaven. It was John who mentioned it first. I've discovered saffron tea, he said, and was quite determined that it should be subtle. Tea is black, he added, just as wine is red. I couldn't agree more. Patty came in with a care package that had Iran stamped all over it. Bags of prepared saffron tea, 250 grams of exported Isfahani Mirzapur, green cardamom barely dried, and a package of saffron you can't buy this side of the Atlantic. Saffron, the other gold. I poured the water in the pot, added the tea, the pods, and the magic powder, and drank 3 heavenly cups. After an Italian dinner, Vin Santo, sweet wine made of white, ripe grapes. Dip those biscotti, finish it off with that espresso doppio macchiato, transport yourself to Florence or some tiny Tuscan village like San Gimignano, where the medieval towers cast the only shadows this side of Siena. Think of all the people before you who have admired the paintings at the Uffizi, of all the people who have prayed at Santa Croce, of all those who hoped one day to see portraits hidden since World War II in the underground tunnels. Then thank the spirits who transported you there as part of the continuum called humanity. Thank artists, your parents, lover, her, before. Last summer I met a poet South Africa and was inspired by her life experience. Wrote this. It's entitled Scented with Love to Tricia Jabe Wesley. The instructions were like a recipe written for a cooking magazine, a long list of ingredients carefully detailing which substitutes are okay. Cream of wheat for cream of rice, yes. Butter in lieu of vegetable oil, no. Add 3 to 4 ripened plantains, then 1 to 2 bananas, a cup of canola oil, maybe less, 2 eggs and some evaporated milk. She sent it with love, asking me to preheat the oven to 350 degrees. Mix the dry ingredients first, then add the wet ones, whisking well. Use a nice round pan or a square one, she wrote, but don't know measurements, sorry. She sent it with love, but behind this veil of food, culture, and sentiments are testaments of war and migration from the west coast of Africa. Patricia's Liberian rice cake. You must remember to make it when I come over, she added. I peeled the plantain and details emerge from the internal migration from Monrovia. Years of boarding school in Tugbake, learning the Gribo traditions, Dorklo war dance, and watching the older girls doing the sumu in the Wahi'i. She sent it with love, as if to say, I learned to grind that rice myself until it was white. The bananas and vanilla pods were picked from a family garden, the milk and eggs from a cousin's farm. She sent it with love, and it transformed itself in my oven, turning memories of conflicts, war, and immigration into peace. And for my last piece, I always tell people, careful what you tell me, it might end up in my poem. And this was overheard at a lunch counter. Lunchtime. Regrettably, neither Spain nor Portugal, exclaimed the man to a lunch companion. My mind wandered to alfresco lunches in Porto, long dinner queues in Barcelona, art galleries and Roman ruins, good wine and Basque food, noisy hotel guests having sex every night, impolite hustlers in the metro, and cable cars rambling through the hills of Lisbon. Thank you very much.